Galatians chapter 5. We're continuing our study in the book of Galatians. We're here at Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to start reading here at verse 16. Galatians chapter 5. Look here at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me as I bring forth this message, that it would help us in our walk with you and encourage us. And keep a hedge around us, keep us safe. And I just pray that you'd bless in a special way. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So if you remember the book of Galatians, pretty much the first four plus chapters, beginning part of first chapter 5, Paul is dealing with our position, right? Now, position means that we are in Christ. We have eternal life. What he's saying is we are forgiven. What a wonderful blessing it is to be forgiven of your sins. And then in about midway of, of the verses we have already read, so it's kind of like he was talking, he kind of turned in chapter 5 to the people that was trying to mislead them or to try to get them away from the gospel message of, instead of faith in Christ, faith plus works. And Paul was dealing with that and saying, hey, I wish they were cut off, right? They would just leave you alone and get away from you. That's there. And then last week we talked about in verse 13 to verse 15, how they were handling that. If you remember, that was like in our speech, how we speak, the words that we say. And they weren't handling it in a good manner, right? Even though they may have been standing up for what's right, the way they were dealing with it was wrong. You can be right, but you can be wrong how you handle it, right? So I can preach God's word, but I can preach in a way that's wrong. Even though what I'm saying is right, I can be mean about it, right? Does that make sense? So, and that's what they were doing. They were biting and devour one another, verse 15. So after him saying that, so it's important when you think about the Bible, when you go through chapters of the Bible and you start reading it, it's kind of a book is building up, right? That little boy had some Legos, I believe, right? And you start out with something and you build up. And think about that as you're reading your Bible. Sometimes there's bigger word, but it's a parenthetical where the thought may stop, right? And then they come back to it. But in Galatians, you're not seeing that. It's a build-up. So he's talking about the gospel. Jesus gave it, and we know no one can change it. And he's talking about you have this, your sins are forgiven. So he's building up. And now he's kind of stopping and turning to your walk, right? Your walk. So now instead of your position, because your position is settled, now he's talking about your practice, your day-to-day living. And that's what he speaks of. This I say then walk, right? Because why? They're saved, but how they were handling things wasn't right. And the reason they weren't handling right was because they were not walking in the Spirit. They were in that old nature. They were in the flesh. They weren't in the Spirit. So that's what Paul is now dealing with them and telling them, hey, you need to make sure that you walk in the Spirit, right? That means he's telling them that you need to make sure that you're in that new nature, right? Surrender to the Holy Spirit. And the reality is, if you are, you're going to handle things better. Listen to this statement. This is truthful. I have never, ever one time regretted a decision I have made, my response I have done when I'm in the Spirit. Not once. But every single time that I'm in the flesh, Chris, are the times I regret. Right? So you think about it, it's the same as your life, right? If you're born again, you're saved. When you're in the Spirit, you're surrendered, and you're allowing the Lord to lead you. You're staying in that new nature. You won't regret the things that you say or do. It's when you get in the flesh. That's when you regret it, right? So here it is. He's trying to teach them and tell them these things. Hey, we need to make sure that we stay in the Spirit. Stay in the Spirit. And the way to stay in the Spirit, you think about it, is after you get saved, right? You can't be in the Spirit as in walking with the Lord. Unless you're saved, amen? But then after you get saved, you have to make sure you are making things right with God. That means confessing, right? So if you do something wrong, what you need to do is, it doesn't stop your relationship with God. You have eternal life. You are a child of God. But it will hinder your fellowship. The book of 1 John, we won't go to it today, but if you read the book of 1 John, he talks about that. Your fellowship with God. Your fellowship will be hindered when you're walking not in the spirit, but when you're walking in the flesh. When you're walking in the flesh, that's when your fellowship is hindered. And what that means is your prayers will be hindered. You do know, as a Christian, your prayers can be hindered when you're walking in the flesh. You can pray, and it sounds like, when I was little, we used to get those little bouncy balls, right? You could go to the store. I don't know what it was. It was like a quarter. And I don't know what they put in now. They probably put credit cards, and you have to cut off your right finger or something for how inflation has hit. But you get those little bouncy balls, right? So I'd put in a quarter, whatever, turn it around, get them. And you know what those bouncy balls, right? You'd take them. And, you know, adults would just take them lightly, you know. But as kids, I mean, you take that, and your goal was, when you hit that floor, was to hit the ceiling, right? That was my goal, right? And to try to bounce it as many times. Well, sometimes in our lives, our prayers are like that bouncy ball, right? And you can pray as hard as you want, and you bounce it as hard, and it goes up and hits the ceiling, but it's hindered. Comes right back down, right? Why is that? Because of sin. Sin can hinder your prayers, right? So what we need to do is to make sure we stay in fellowship. We ask the Lord to forgive us, right? That's what God is telling us to do. Forgive. So when you have done something, you forgive someone else, and then you ask the Lord, forgive me what I have done. But also, you think about to stay in fellowship, it means to stay faithful. Amen? Staying faithful, it means staying in church. You know, you can go to heaven without going to church. But you're going to go to heaven not right with God. So it's your choice, right? You could still go to heaven, but you're not going to be right. And a Christian that's outside of God's will is going to be miserable. Miserable. Because you don't fit in with the world anymore. You could try your best, but you're not going to fit in. And well, since you're not right with God, God loves you. He's going to chasten you. Amen? So can I tell you, it's not worth it. Amen? And spend time reading His Word. Reading His Word. I'm telling you, God has given us a love letter. It's a precious book. And everything that you need in life is in this book. Everything to help you to make wise decisions is in this book. Amen? Things to put up guards to keep out of your life. It's all here in this book. Amen? And if your desire today is to please the Lord, then your reality is your desire should be to walk in the Spirit. Now, I'll come back to this in a little bit, because by the time we get down to verse 18, you can see he's not talking about, this is not related to your salvation, right? Walking in the Spirit is not related. It's not saying I have to walk in the Spirit to be saved or walk in the Spirit to keep my salvation. That would defeat the purpose of the first four chapter plus that Paul has already wrote and said you have eternal life, right? He's talking about our practice that's here. But I want you to see in these verses, first thing I want you to see is this. At salvation, you still have that sin nature. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So here it is. He's writing this epistle to churches. There were different churches that this, you go back to chapter 1, you could see that he wrote it to. And what do we see here? He's telling us, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do you know what that means as a believer? You still have a sin nature when you get saved. If you didn't have a sin nature when you got saved, he wouldn't have to say this. He wouldn't have to tell you to walk in the Spirit. You know why? Because if you didn't have a sin nature, you would already do it, right? No, the reality is we have a sin nature. And because we have a sin nature, the truth of the matter is we have to make an effort to walk in the Spirit. But you're never going to lose your sin nature until you go to heaven. Never. Amen? You're always going to have it. You may say, well, I'll get to that place in my life where I never sin again. Well, that's called death. Amen. And when you die, then you go there. Amen. Do you remember the Apostle Paul? Apostle Paul, I would say out of Christians, and we don't, you know what I mean, it's just throwing this out there, but you think about his Christians as recorded in Scripture, he is probably the greatest Christian that ever lived, as in he was surrendered, he loved the Lord, he wasn't perfect. If Paul was here, he'd probably slap me upside the head and say, don't say that, amen. But what I'm saying from the standpoint, he was surrendered, he loved God. He was willing, knowing what he was going to do with going to Jerusalem. He knew that he was going to get in trouble. He knew he was going to go to prison. He didn't care from that standpoint. He wanted people to know about Jesus. I mean, some of us, if we think someone's just going to take it wrong, if we tell them about Jesus, we won't even speak up. Paul was willing to be a martyr. I mean, he loved the Lord. He cared about the Lord. But you know, in the book of Romans chapter 7, we won't turn there this morning, but you can turn later on and read it. The second part of chapter 7, you know what Paul is saying in those chapters? He says, the things that I would do, I do not. What Paul was saying is that he is a Christian. He's been saved, I don't know, probably 30-some years. And what Paul was saying is, the things I desire to do, walking in the Spirit, he says, I don't do it. He's not saying all the times, right? Well, what was he saying? He was talking about his sin nature. Then he says, the things which I do, I desire not or don't want to do, or the things I hate, or the things I do. You read that book, and you know what you see is you see a battle, which is similar to what he's talking about in the next verse, in verse 17, this back and forth that's there. But what is he speaking of? Well, he's telling us here, he's saying, hey, we need to make an effort to walk in the Spirit. We need to make an effort to walk in the Spirit, but you're still going to have that sin nature. And since you're going to have that sin nature, you're never going to lose it until you get to heaven. Amen? That means you're always going to have a battle. And since we know that we're going to have a battle, we have that sin nature, we need to do our best to make sure that we walk in the Spirit. That's what he speaks up here, and he tells us this battle that we have. And then what we would see is he says in verse 16 and 17, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He's telling us you're going to have to make an effort. You're going to have to make an effort. Amen? We live in a world today where a lot of people don't make efforts for anything. Amen? It's like people just don't do anything. We live in a society where there's people just lazy. Amen? My father-in-law, can't remember if my mother-in-law remembers. She could probably tell us. But when he first got a job, I think it was down in Syracuse. He had to walk. Didn't he have to walk? Wasn't it over an hour? Was it how long was it? Do you remember, an hour or what?
It took around that long, yeah.
Yeah. So for him to have when he had a job, he walked an hour to get to his job. An hour. Do you imagine that today? I'm telling you, some people, you know, if they just got to get out of bed, I got to go to work, you know. No, can I tell you, he walked an hour to go to his job. Well, I tell you, there's a lot of people today wouldn't get out of bed. Some people are doing other things that are there. Hey, if you're going to be in the Spirit, to walk means you have to make an effort. To walk means you have to make an effort. You have to make an effort to be in the Spirit. It's not going to come. When you wake up in the morning, the reality is this. Your flesh is going to battle you. Your flesh is, hey, excuse me, sir. Don't be passing that up. You're trying to pass something up?
No, I'm not passing up.
Okay.
I'm trying to read the Bible.
Okay, all right, I'm just making sure. I saw something there. So, but anyway, the reality is this. What we need to do is make sure that we stay in the Spirit, but you're going to have to make an effort. Amen? You're going to have to make an effort. That means every single day that you wake up, you're going to have to decide, right? Am I going to serve God today? Am I going to be surrendered? And the reality is, it's through every single day and throughout the day. I may wake up and make sure I spend some time with the Lord. My desire is to do what's right. And you know what happens? 8 o'clock comes. I sign in for work. And not everyone that's on the other side, Jenny, wants to be where I am. Right? And some of them, I think their goal is when they woke up was, hey, they had a plot.
They met at 7 o'clock in the morning at Tim Hortons or wherever. I'm just doing a hypothetical, and it's just a joke. It's not true. They said, what is our plan today to try to get Dan out of the spirit? You know, I'm sure you may have coworkers. It seemed like they do that, right? They don't. But what I'm saying is, you may be at work, and the people that you're talking to, customers, I'm always amazed, amen? Sometimes you, as customers will go in and give people that are working there the hardest times ever, you know, and they yell at them. You know, it's just like, whoa, what's wrong with you? What I'm saying is this. We're living in a world and society where the truth of the matter is your flesh, the world, the devil is trying to get you out of the spirit. You're going to have to make an effort. The reality is you're going to have to stay focused. You're going to have to stay focused. The things of this world is trying to draw us away from the things of God. You're going to have to stay focused. That's what in the book of Philippians, where Paul was talking about that, right? He's staying focused on the Lord. 2 Corinthians, what we were talking about in Sunday school, what was it? They were focused on eternity. Folks, can I tell you, if your desire is to stay in the Spirit, the truth is you're going to have to stay focused. Look at what the Bible says over here to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look here at Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds, right? You're saved. And what he's saying is your life as a Christian should be different from those that are non-Christians, right? He was referring to as here the Gentiles are referring to as the heathens. It says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. It doesn't surprise me that lost people do the things they do, right? It doesn't surprise me seeing lost people going out to the bar rooms and lost people doing these things and lost people doing those wicked things, right? God's saying, hey, your life as a believer should be different. Amen? And here it is, he's saying, hey, they're ignorant, right? They're not thinking about it. They're not thinking that today could be their last day on this earth. They're not thinking that tomorrow, Bob, they could be in hell. They're not thinking about that. They don't care about that, right? You know, I think my good will outweigh my bad and I'll be in heaven, right? Recently I was talking to someone and he was saying that, and he says, worst case scenario, you know, if it doesn't work out, I guess I go to hell. And I was like, whoa, you know, do you know what hell is? Folks, can I tell you, they don't think about stuff. They don't care about that. Amen? And here it is, he goes on and says, who being past filling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Right? In the past, before you got saved, that may have been the life that you live. Right? You only cared about yourself. You didn't care about others. You know, before I got saved, you know, man, I'm sure I cared about people, but the truth is I cared about me. Right? That's why I cared about me. Right? What can I make? Right? You know? Here it is, he says, before you got saved, you know, same thing. And he goes, here he says, but ye have not so learned Christ. That's not him. You think about when he left heaven and came down here and lived on this earth and lived a sinless life. And you think about it, he should have been worshipped, and he was, but he served. He served. Amen? He loved people. He forgave those that spit on him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You think about, if we look at the example of the world, the reality is that would be our flesh. But when we look at our Lord, you think about the new nature, when we're walking in the Spirit, think about what He did. Amen? Our lives should be different. He goes on and says, if so ye have heard of Him and have been taught by Him, and the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according
to his deceitful deeds and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. Again, he's saying put on. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about your walk. Your walk. And what is he saying? That old man, right? It's kind of, you can't put off the old man, right? That old nature that's there. But he's trying to give us a picture and saying, hey, set it to the side and put on the new man. What is he saying? Be in the Spirit. Stay in the Spirit. Be surrendered. Allow the Scriptures to speak to your heart and apply it to your heart. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, hey, you want to walk. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 13. In Romans chapter 13. Maybe you're struggling with something in your life. There is a sin that you're struggling with. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, easily beset you. Look here at Romans chapter 13. In Romans chapter 13. In Romans 13. Down here, verse 14. In Romans 13, verse 14, it says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, he's not talking about your position. He's not talking about earning salvation, right? He's talking about your walk, your position, right? And says, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Maybe you're struggling with something in your life. And here it is. He's given us a little key that's here, right? To put on, right? Be in the Spirit, be surrendered, allowing God to lead us, surrendering to the Scripture. And then he tells us what? Don't make a provision to the flesh. Provision. Those things that maybe will hurt you, right? So let me give you an example. Maybe someone hurts or struggles with pornography. Can I tell you, pornography is of the devil and it's just pure wickedness. Amen? Destroy homes. So many homes are destroyed over pornography, right? And maybe you struggle with it or whatever that's there. And maybe you have a magazine at home that's a bad magazine. The reality is this, to make a provision of the flesh means that you just take that magazine and you take it and you put it under something. And they're saying, I'm not going to touch that. I'm not going to look at that, right? But the reality is you made a provision. So that way your flesh is going against you or whatever, that you made a provision just in case I'll get it. Can I tell you what you should do? Is burn it. You should rip it up. Throw it away. Amen? Don't make a provision to your flesh. Right? If you struggle, maybe it's on your phone. Today people don't do the magazines, they may go onto your phone. Can I tell you, you should put something on your phone that prevents you from going to those places, those sites. And don't do the password that says, I'm going to put my own password in here. Just as a provision. Folks, can I tell you, you know why? When you put that own password in there, you'll go back to it. You'd be better off to put something on there where a password goes in where you have no idea that you can't get through the filter, right? If you put in a password that you know, you're making a provision to the flesh. Do you understand? That's what he's talking about. Before I got saved, I used to struggle with smokeless tobacco. Tobacco is horrible, amen. But tobacco. And I struggled with it because I would use that smokeless tobacco. And I would tell myself, Jenny, I must have said thousands of times I was going to quit. Right? And what I would do is I'd get those little skull cans or whatever cans it was. And I would take it and I would put it somewhere just in case I felt like. Every single time, Tony, I would come back to that can. Every single time. Then there was a time in my life where I started to read the Bible. I wasn't saved. I started to read the Bible and something came over me. I was like, whoa, I got scared. The Holy Spirit convicted me that was there. I picked up that can. So again, this is before I even got saved. And you know what I did? I took that can and I opened it up and I dumped it out in my trash can. So what I was doing is getting rid of the provision. But I know how much that draw of the flesh was. That I messed it up, threw something over it, or whatever. You know why?
Because my flesh would have been, there's still pal there. You could pull the top of it,
right? Yeah. So the reality is I did some what? I was taking away the provision, right? I don't know what you're struggling with that's keeping you out of the Spirit. The Bible says that we should walk in the Spirit, not the flesh. But here is the Bible saying is, hey, stop making a provision for it. There's some TV show that you're watching. This TV show is not good. And it gets you out of the Spirit into the flesh. Hey, if you can't control yourself, this ain't something radical. But if you can't control yourself for what you watch on the television, then get rid of your television. Right? Oh, that's radical. I'd rather walk in the Spirit and have no TV than walk in the flesh and have a television. Do you understand? Folks, all I'm saying is this. Don't make a provision for it. If you can't struggle from your phone and you can't find a filter that's on it, then you know what? Maybe you should do something with your phone and make sure you don't have it. You don't need a phone to live. I mean, when I was growing up, I didn't have a phone. You know? That's radical. If your desire is to walk in the Spirit, you're going to do all that you can to stay in the Spirit, right? Folks, what I'm saying is this. That's what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, hey, when he was talking to this church, what was happening? They were standing for what's right, but they were doing it wrong. They were biting and devouring one another. And he's saying, hey, that's not right. And then it's after those verses, he says, this I say unto you, walk in the Spirit. What was he saying? He's saying, guys, you may be standing for what's right. You're doing it wrong. The reason you're doing it wrong is because you're in the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Not the flesh. Ask yourself today, is that your desire to walk in the Spirit? Look at what the Bible says over here to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Book of Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. I'm sorry, Colossians chapter 3 it is. Let me write that verse down wrong. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Look here in Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. The Bible says, if ye be risen with Christ, what he's saying is if you're saved, amen? If you're born again, praise the Lord, you're on your way to heaven. Your sin is forgiven. Praise the Lord. Now he's telling us, right? If you're born again, he's going to help us how to stay in the Spirit. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. There's where your focus should be, right? On eternity. He goes on, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. There should be your desire. Ask yourself, maybe you're struggling walking in the Spirit. Well, where's your affections? Where's your desire, right? If all you care about is the things that's of this world and you don't care about the things of God, well, there's a reason that's hurting you. Why? You know, start caring about the things of God. Start spending time in the Bible. Start spending time, you know, reading what the Scripture says and studying it. And there'll be people who'll be like, oh, I can't do that. When I was growing up, I used to know stats, baseball stats. I mean, I could tell you baseball stats of almost every single person, right? I knew what Cal Ripken did. Amen. Eddie Murray, he was one of my favorite players. Eddie Murray, Roger Clemens, you know, found out he was on steroids. No wonder I never ended up as good as him, right? So, but anyway, these other people, you know, I used to watch and I had their stats. If you would ask me a question, what was the ERA of someone? I'd give it to you, right? What is this? Give it to you, right? I mean, I spent a lot of time just trying to remember stats. I know I'm a numbers geek. I'm still a numbers geek, right? Well, let me ask you, if you could spend time to get stats and remember these things, or maybe you could watch a show and you have like the sayings down, whatever they say, how much time are you investing in the Scripture? I mean, how much time are you spending to try to memorize Scripture, to try to put it into your heart? You know, it doesn't take long. Like, a lot of times I think we give ourselves excuses, right? But the reality is you can. I remember when I was in Bible college and my professor told me, he says, when you're getting ready to do a speech, He wanted me to do a speech, and he had me memorize Isaiah chapter 53 and also memorize a speech by Billy Sunday. Not speech, a message. And I had to preach. It was like a message that Billy Sunday did, right? And that's what he did, word for word. And I was thinking, whoa. And I looked at that, how long it was. It was like, how am I going to do this? This is 20, 30 some minutes. I mean, it was just like, this is crazy. But you know what? I made an effort. I didn't want to fail, Rachel, you know? So I made an effort. When I would go to work, I took that message, you know, that I heard. And that's when we had cassette tapes. Some of you don't know what that is. We had cassette. And I said whatever Billy Sunday's message was, I read it into a cassette tape. So that way, every time I traveled to work, I was listening to it. And as I would go to other places, I would listen to it. You may say, why? Because I didn't want to fail, right? Because I wanted to learn it. Plus, I knew I had to get up in front of people and I didn't want to look dumb. Amen. I mean, I really wanted to learn. And I remember I had to do that, and I got up and I was in front of people and I had to say Isaiah 53 and I had to preach the sermon of Billy Sunday, and I got an A+. I'm not saying that because of my grades or whatever. I'm saying it from this standpoint. When you really want to do something, you put an effort in, you can do it, right? Yes, maybe it takes you a little bit of time to memorize one scripture. Well, just keep on putting effort in there. Do it, right? Keep on telling. Folks, what I'm saying is you put it in, right? And I guarantee if you're honest with yourself, if you look at your schedule in your day, there's time. We just don't make it, right? Here it is. He's telling us to do this, right? He says, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, for ye are dead. He's not talking physically, but he's talking spiritually. And your life is hid with God, hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Is he really our life? I mean, do we really love him? If you love me, he says, keep my commandments, right? If someone really loves God, you're going to keep his word, right? But you have to ask yourself, maybe the reason you're struggling, you're not in the Spirit, not staying in the Spirit. Don't misunderstand. I said we still have a sin nature, and we're always going to have a sin nature. And there's always going to be a battle that's there, and that's what he tells us in the next verse. It's a conflict that's there. It's because you're not really making the effort. You're not trying, right? And the reality is, he's telling us these things. I'll get back to the other verses later, but if you jump down here to verse, or another time, verse 12 again. Put on, therefore, the elect of God. Put on. You know what that means? It's going to be an effort. When you came here this morning, each and every one of you put on clothes. Unless you are really lazy, then last night you put them on, you slept in them, right? But you still put them on. And I thank you for putting on clothes when you came here, right? What I'm saying is, to put on is an effort, right? May not have been a big effort, but there's still an effort, right? And here it says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. These things aren't what your flesh wants you to do. Your flesh is telling you this. Someone does something wrong to you, you want to kick them back, right? Your flesh says, deal with them like Samson. You read in Samson in the book of Judges, you know what you see? That is just someone that's a believer that lived in the flesh. You think about it, he was a man of faith. Hebrews tells us that. He was a man of faith. But what we see? Someone would do something, he's like, I'm going to get you back, right? Don't do that. That's your flesh. But are you willing to forgive? Do you have humbleness of mind? Are you kind? I was going through Walmart yesterday, and there was a lady that's there. And I always try to talk to people and try to be kind, you know? And the lady, she was just pleasant, right, to talk to, right? And she had a smile on her face. And I thanked her. I said, thank you for being happy. You know, thank you for smiling, right?
She wasn't doing that to hit on me. Trust me, it wasn't that. But what I'm saying is, she was just, she said, you know, I can't remember exact words. It was kind of like this, you know, that I could do something like that. Folks, can I tell you, be kind. I guarantee you there's other people who came through that line and probably meet mad at her, right? Be kind. Be kind to those who are kind and be kind to those who aren't kind, right? He goes on, he tells us, forbearing one another. It means to put up. Now, I know for you guys, it's not a hard time for you to put up with me, you know, because I'm just great. I'm just joking. But he says forbearing, right? Sometimes not everyone is easy to get along with. Forbearing one another. And he's not just referring to those that are lost. He's talking about those that are saved. Not every single Christian, can I tell you, is happy. Not every single Christian you run into is kind. Forbearing one another, right? Matter of fact, in Ephesians, I think it's chapter 4, he talks about endeavoring to keep the unity. You know what that means? That means you have to make an effort. Because your flesh doesn't want unity, right? I'm not talking about compromising. You know, you always stand for God's word. But endeavoring to keep it. That means you're going to have to make an effort. Well, it's the same thing. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not feel the lust of the flesh. And he tells us what? There is a battle. When you came to church today, do you know there was a battle that you had? Your flesh didn't want you to come to church. Your flesh may not have wanted you to read your Bible. Your flesh doesn't want you to witness to someone, to tell them about Jesus. Your flesh doesn't want you to forgive. Your flesh doesn't want you to be kind. Your flesh wants you to be miserable. And here it is, he's saying, hey, walk in the Spirit. I'll get to verse 18 next week. Amen. I'll get there. But ask yourself, are you trying to walk in the Spirit? Are you trying to be surrendered to the Lord? Are you willing to forgive? Do you have meekness, humbleness of mind? How do you respond when people are mean to you? What do you do when you see things maybe on the television that you shouldn't see? Did you turn it off? Or do you keep it on? Right? He's telling us what? To walk in the Spirit. Make sure you don't put provisions. You're still going to heaven. And the reality is, God wants to use your life to bring others to Him. Let me ask you, as we get ready to close, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many in here would say, I have a loved one that's lost, and if they died today, they would go to hell? I think most of you, if you'd be honest, we would all probably raise our hands, right? And we care for those people. If you're going to walk in the flesh, don't be surprised if you never reach them. But if you walk in the Spirit, there's a greater chance that you can impact them and you may reach them. But walking in the flesh, you're never going to reach them. You know? Can you imagine if here was my brother is lost, and let's say he's here, and I'm just mean to him constantly? Why would my brother want Jesus? Matter of fact, this is truthful. I wouldn't lie to you. This is truthful. I asked my brother, and one time, you know what he told me? It wasn't me. But he said there was someone else who claimed to be a Christian. He said, if that's the way Christians are, I'd rather go to hell. And it broke my heart. Because he doesn't know what hell is. And number two, I don't know. That person may be saved, not saved. I don't know. Right? Just because someone claims to be a Christian doesn't mean they're a Christian, right? And I thought to myself, oh my. I never want to live in a way that someone will look and say, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want it. I'm telling you, it stuck in my heart. That's even 20 plus years later, I still remember it. Now, don't misunderstand. I still have a sin nature that I battle. And I'm sure there's been people in my life that I haven't been in the spirit with, that I was in the flesh, and I hadn't made things right. But my desire is to walk in the spirit, because I want God to use my life to try to bring people to Him. Amen. Father, I thank You for this opportunity to preach and teach. And Lord, I pray that this message was a blessing. Lord, I know it was a little longer. I know it dealt with their flesh. And I'm sure our flesh probably didn't like the things that may have been preached on. There may have been people who had their toes stepped on today, because, Lord, You wanted their toes stepped on today. But what matters is, Lord, how they respond to hearing the message. Lord, if there's things they need to get right, or maybe they're making that provision, I pray today they would make that decision with You. Lord, not for me, but for You. And Lord, that they would decide today and say, Lord, I'm going to get rid of that provision, and I want to walk in the Spirit. Lord, I give You this invitation and pray Thy will be done. We ask in Jesus' precious name.